This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight we have Paul.
Hello.
Damien.
Hi.
And myself, Dean.
Tonight we travel over to Eastern Europe to check out what's happening in the Czech Republic. What is it about Czech society that makes it more progressive than its neighbour countries?
What difference does the legislative support make to achieving equality?
Could this be the first domino to fall in favour of rights in Eastern Europe? To learn about LGBTI life in the Czech Republic, tonight we speak with Czeslaw Walek, chairman of Prague Pride. Here's a taste of what we've got coming up tonight.
I think the biggest problem in the Czech Republic are politicians, because they don't have a gut to actually take this issue and to push for the change of the law, because our politicians tend to be more conservative than the society is.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
This week's Worldwide Wrap is all about pushing boundaries. So we're starting off in Jordan, which is a relatively progressive westernised country bordered by Saudi Arabia and Iraq. The Queen Mother is American, Queen Noor, so she's got it's got that real strong American influence. Now, as a result, it has an online magazine called My Carly. It's a gay-themed magazine published in English, and it's made available around the Middle East. But they've made a recent change that's been hailed as progress by commentators around the world. It is now being published in Arabic. While it's a landmark movement for LGBT rights, the magazine's founders are now facing potential lawsuits and death threats from people furious over the supposed promotion of homosexuality.
Let me guess, it's the whole importing the Western construct of homosexuality into the Middle East has got people up in arms.
How did you know?
Oh, just a wild guess.
Their May-June issue is the first time in its 9-year history that it's been available in both English and Arabic. Now, magazine founder Khalid Abdelhadi said, "When I started the magazine, I was trying to not be noticed in Jordanian society for fear of a backlash. Now, the change came after so many gay people who can only read Arabic wanted us to do an Arabic edition. We wanted to start spreading awareness on these issues." Now, it has spread awareness. The article has gone viral in the Arab-speaking world, and numerous commentators have reacted very angrily, which is exactly the backlash they wanted to avoid. Some accuse the magazine of holding that foreign agenda you mentioned earlier, Damien, and funded by the West to implement homosexuality.
I love that phrase, implement. It's something you implement, like, you know, government policy. Today, we're implementing homosexuality.
I didn't realise they brought it in the Western world.
Some news outlets questioned why the magazine is provoking the public and suggested it's not an officially registered title. Now, many reported it was printed and not online, which is untrue. This is important because the Media Commission of Jordan has released a statement to state MyCarly is not registered, and if proven to be printed as opposed to being online, they will lodge a lawsuit. Now, MyCarly have said they have no plans to publish the magazine in a hard copy or become a formal registered entity in Jordan, and stated they are not sponsored or supported by any foreign government. You can see how this could cause a bit of a problem.
Indeed. The magazine actually has said they never aim to undermine the traditions and culture of Jordanian society, nor do they endeavour to spread homosexuality as some have claimed. The e-zine merely believes in freedom of speech and exercises this right as an informal collective on the internet, sharing with those who freely and voluntarily visit its website articles. Kind of hard to argue with that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not like they're forcing people to read it. So, I mean, if you look at the magazine online, it seems pretty much like a Jordanian version of, like, The Advocate or Out or something like that. You know, lots of celebrities and sexy people wearing sexy clothes, things like that.
And I think this quote sums it up rather nicely. The Jordanian LGBTQ community has always been an inherent part of the country's social fabric. It is not a foreign import or construct, nor does it have an agenda to debase Jordanian tradition. Wasn't that well said?
Speaking of pushing boundaries as we were before, we're now off to Brazil, where a popular Brazilian telenovela has broadcast a sex scene between two male characters for the first time ever. Now, for those of you who don't have a Puerto Rican boyfriend like me, telenovelas are kind of like a soapy that runs for less than a year, you know, like 9 or 10 months or something in Latin American countries. Think of a 10-month Game of Thrones with just as much sex, but much less violence and way, way, way trashier. But that's pretty much it. And they send them up on Modern Family every now and then. Sofia Vergara's character mentions them. So, Liberdade, Liberdade, which translates apparently as Freedom, Freedom, recently became Brazil's first soap opera in the country's history to air a gay sex scene. The show is set in the 18th century and sees characters André and Tolentino express their feelings for each other after months of sexual tension.
Do you think having it set in that time period is kind of a way to distance, you know, not make it so in your face and kind of say, well, this is, you know, it's something that doesn't relate to now? Well,
I hope so, but not everyone is impressed.
Yeah,
by
so
these
if that was their intention, it hasn't really worked out. Members of Brazil's Catholic community claimed that the show wanted to take the devil into viewers' homes. I certainly hope so. Claiming children's minds may be corrupted, despite Liberdade, Liberdade airing at 11 p.m. A spokesperson from the Catholic Church also calls the scene a sexual assault on the Brazilian family.
We should have run a competition on which organization would have protested the loudest about such scenes. Guess what? The Catholic Church.
What a surprise.
Moving on to other positive developments. In California, the State Board of Education has unanimously approved changes in classroom instruction. They now need to comply with the nation's first law requiring public schools to include prominent gay Americans and LGBT rights milestones in history classes. The changes satisfy legislation that was passed 5 years ago that added LGBT Americans and people with disabilities to the list of social and ethnic groups whose contribution schools are supposed to teach about, and who now have to appear in textbooks. So, for example, in second grade, students will learn about families with two mums or two dads, and a couple of years later, they'll hear about how New York native Harvey Milk became a gay politician in San Francisco. Now, conservative opponents have argued that it should be up to parents to decide how and at what age to broach sexual orientation with their children, and they made two unsuccessful attempts to repeal the law, but it just didn't work out.
California's law took effect all the way back in Jan 2012, but its implementation has been slowed by those attempts to overturn it and budget cuts.
Oh, well, there you go. But now it's here, and it's we're here, we're queer, and we're learning all about it in schools. So there you go. Our agenda is underway. In brief, in the UK, Prince Harry has taken a rapid HIV test live on camera to demonstrate how easy it is.
France has lifted its lifetime ban on blood donated by gay men, but you still have to avoid any same-sex contact with for 12 months prior.
And 8,000 activists have marched at South Africa's International AIDS Conference to protest insufficient funding and inadequate health systems.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Autumn Butter from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And tonight we are off to the Czech Republic.
Not Czechoslovakia.
Which was, if we do a bit of history.
Yeah,
it was Czechoslovakia.
Let's come clean.
Past is past. Yes. So I suppose our focus is not so much on the long-term history of the country, more about the history of same-sex activity in the country. So same-sex activity was decriminalised in 1962.
How progressive is that? 1962 in the Czech, well, then it was Czechoslovakia, actually.
And we're talking about an Eastern European Soviet country.
And the age of consent was equalised in 1990 to 15. It had previously been 18 for gay people. Now, the army doesn't question the sexual orientation of soldiers either and allows homosexuals to serve openly. And gay prostitution or sex work was also decriminalised in 1990.
Well, there you go. There's absolutely nothing more to say about the Czech Republic, so it's been a nice short show. We'll play some more tracks and we'll catch you next week.
They can certainly hold their head up in a way that we can't, because they're a bit ahead of us. In terms of recognition of same-sex relationships, there is some legal recognition. It's not to the same degree as, say, the United States, but it seems to be a little bit maybe better than Australia. Unregistered cohabitation has been possible since 2001, so unregistered. The Czech Republic has granted persons living in a common household inheritance and succession rights in housing, as well as hospital and prison visitation rights, similar to married heterosexual couples. Now, a bill legalising registered partnership with some of the rights of marriage was rejected 4 times. Sound familiar? In 1998, 1999, 2001...
Not really, no, because we haven't even got that far.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, I'm concerned we're all going to be wearing, like, bustles and driving stagecoaches at this rate. And 2005. But in 2005, a new registered partnership bill was passed by the Czech House of Representatives. It was also adopted by the Senate, but then vetted by President Václav Klaus. So he said no. So, yeah, Vaclav and John Howard probably get along quite well. On the 15th of March 2006, the president's veto was overturned by the House of Representatives. They said, too bad, so sad. And the law finally came into force in 2006.
Hooray!
So they do allow registered partnerships for same-sex couples, with many of the rights of marriage except for adoption rights and the title marriage. So, yeah, another country that can look down their noses at us.
But as we'll find tonight,
it's not perfect.
It's not perfect, and you know they've gotten so far with recognition of same-sex marriage, but they've kind of put that one on the back burner. And what they're really pushing for now is the adoption rights.
There's been a long-running campaign to allow same-sex adoption in the Czech Republic, and just recently there was a court ruling that set the campaign in a new direction. We spoke to Czeslaw Wallach, chairman of Prague Pride, and asked him to tell us what the court ruling means.
We have a law on registered partnership in the Czech Republic since 2006, which allows same-sex couples to register. But in fact, it's really a symbolic gesture from the state because it doesn't give many rights to those who are registered. In fact, some rights the law purposefully abandoned, such as an adoption. So the law said that person who is registered cannot individually or with the partner adopt. And that created the situation when, if you are gay and individually you decide to adopt, in theory, you would be allowed to start the process of adoption. But once you are registered, the law is saying, no, you cannot do it. And the recent constitutional ruling was that this is unconstitutional, that this creates unconstitutional discrimination. So after this ruling, basically, people who are in registered partnership individually can adopt. However, the ruling doesn't mean that the registered partners can adopt together, or it also doesn't mean that if my partner has a kid, that I can adopt the kids. That also is not allowed yet. There are a number of movements within the LGBT community in the Czech Republic that are trying to change it. And in fact, just I think last week, the parliament started to discuss amendments to the law on registered partnership that would allow the step-parent adoption. But this is all complicated. And I believe personally that we should push for marriage equality in the Czech Republic, because this is the only way how we can really secure full equality in the family law between same-sex couples and the rest of the society. Besides, I believe that the Czech Republic is the only country in Eastern Europe that is ready to actually push for marriage equality and that the society can accept that.
Tell us a bit more about that push for same-sex marriage, because you have had registered partnerships for quite some time. How much desire is there, both, I guess, from the LGBT community, but also from the politicians, to look at same-sex marriage in Czech Republic?
I think that the interest interest is growing. We had law and registered partnership for more than 10 years right now. Actually, I think now we have a 10 years anniversary. And thanks to this 10 years time, the society realizes that the same-sex couples are not endangering the societal order, and that they are here and they should have a right to be happy together, and state should give them this possibility to be together happily.
That was Ches Wallach, chairman of the Prague Pride. Coming up, Cheslaw will share some similarities between Australia and Czech LGBT rights. Now, I probably should just correct a comment that I made that the Czech wasn't a Soviet state, but it was under Soviet influence.
Hi, I'm Katie May, proud crossdresser and author of the book Men Can Wear Dresses Too, speaking from London on the World Wide Wave.
Where tonight we are off to the Czech Republic. Our guest tonight, Ceslaw Wallach from Prague Pride, has been explaining the push for same-sex marriage, and we canvassed him on where public opinion stood on the issue.
We have just conducted one survey among the LGBT community, and more than 86% of LGBT people want marriage equality. So there is a prevailing wish among our community to have this right. And there are studies that are repeated every year, public opinion surveys, that are showing a growing support for marriage equality among the general population. At this moment, it's more than 50%, and I believe that if we would engage in proper communication with the society, the support among the public opinion would grow tremendously. I think the biggest problem in the Czech Republic are politicians, because they don't have a gut to actually take this issue and to push for the change of the law. And I think if we were engaging in the campaign, I think the part of talking to politicians would be the most important part of the campaign, because our politicians tend to be more conservative than the society is. I believe that in Australia it's similar, no?
It is unfortunately exactly the same. So we hear what you're saying. From an outsider's view, though, it seems as though Czech Republic is quite progressive when it comes to gay rights. I mean, homosexuality was decriminalised there in the 60s, and you have a very vibrant gay culture. What is it about Czech culture or society that makes it more progressive in terms of LGBT rights than many of your neighbours?
Well, it's difficult to say. I'm not a sociologist. I believe that the fact that we are the most atheist country in the world helps. The influence of church is not as big as in the neighboring countries such as Poland or Slovakia. And it's not only about the ideology, but it's also about methods of communication with the public. When you see what church in Poland or Slovakia does, is that they use their Sunday masses to actually influence public opinion on marriage equality or registered partnership or LGBT rights in general. Well, in Czech Republic, they don't have this audience because Czechs do not attend church masses on Sunday, and they are losing a big advantage. I think that Czechs have slightly different approach towards sex and sexuality in general as well, and that may help as well. And the third thing, and that might be similar to Australia as well, I sometimes have a feeling that it's not really about the tolerance or respect towards LGBT community, but it's more about ignorance. People basically don't care what you do and with whom you do it behind your closed doors.
So from a societal viewpoint, having laws that are supportive of LGBT rights is one thing. What is acceptance like for LGBT people in their everyday lives?
You know, to be honest, I think that the life in the Czech Republic for gay people is pretty okay, especially in Prague, in the capital city, because it has a quite good gay infrastructure. You have clubs, you have friends, you have interest groups. you wouldn't see the difference between, I don't know, Prague and, let's say, Berlin or Munich or Vienna. In smaller cities, you would have to be a little bit more careful if you would decide to hold your partner's hand or kiss in public. That might be not really accepted. On the other hand, I must say that I work in LGBT movement for more than 5 years right now, and I haven't heard about any physical attacks on LGBT people in Prague or in outside of Prague. And we organized Prague Pride, and the Prague Pride is the biggest Eastern European Pride Festival. We had last year more than 75,000 people, and the parade was joined by 35,000 people. No other Eastern European country or city has it. So that shows also kind of support for the LGBT community. And despite the fact that maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago when we started with Pride, it stirred a little bit of tension. Today, it is accepted as the natural part of summer events in Prague, and lots of people from Prague and from outside of the capital city are joining the festival to come and have fun.
Tell us a bit more about Prague Pride, because it is coming up. What's your message that you want to get out, and I guess describe some of the events that are on?
So we have more than 100 events that people can attend. I think one of my favorites could be, well, opening event. It's a great open-air concert on Monday that people can hear the Czech upcoming stars, but also Omar Sharif Jr., our main international guest, will welcome everyone at the opening. The other event that I would like to invite people to is Pride Voices, which is our talk show of individuals that are changing the LGBT lives in the Czech Republic or around the world. And we have a Chinese activist from organization which is called iBuy joining us, Jacob Wang. We have a founder of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence from San Francisco joining us. And of course, then everyone should look forward to our parade on Saturday, which is going through the center of Prague. And it's really like Prague is turning to rainbow colors, and this is magic happening. And after the parade, we have an open-air concert with three stages, and the festivities are going on till early morning on Sunday.
That was Czeslaw Wolek, Chairman of Prague Pride, outlining some of the great events during their Pride Festival from August 8 to the 14th. What an extraordinary country.
Yeah, we actually looked up the atheist country, and it came third behind China and...
We should get them to guess, but it's too late now, that's it.
Sorry. China and Japan lead the atheist countries, followed by Czech.
Yeah, impressive for a landlocked European country, sort of in effectively Eastern Europe. Yeah, fascinating. Also, stunningly beautiful. We're doing a bit of a pictorial, which, you know, we can't do much about that on radio, but just seems to be, you know, Prague is the fifth most visited city in Europe. Looks stunning.
Unusual that he comments about the lack of violence, because we've had shows in other countries that were considered quite progressive. I mean, like last week's show about Hungary. And they still do have attacks. They still have people, they still have reported violence. Well, so it's nice to find a country that doesn't have much in the way of reported violence.
Being the devil's advocate here, do you think that that may be because it's underreported, opposed to it just doesn't happen?
Well, I don't know about that. It's a population of about 10 million, highly educated. I don't know if it is. I wonder if it's because... like one of the things we learned last week about Hungary is that they have a problem with fascist gangs and youths everywhere because of high unemployment. So whether or not it's the same situation in the Czech Republic, I really don't know. But one of the things we learn on this show is how little we know about different countries. And we make these assumptions about them. And I would have assumed that the Czech Republic was very similar to a lot of other countries in Central Europe or Eastern Europe. And it's actually quite different.
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting how he compared Prague to a lot of other Western European countries, you know, places like Berlin, which we did do a couple of shows back now, which was, you know, the hub of gay, and to kind of compare Prague to a place like that, to Vienna, to places where it's an established scene.
Well, he is talking about the neighbouring countries. So the Czech Republic does border, has quite a large border with Germany, has quite a large border with Austria. So it's not on one side, it's not really that surprising that they are fairly Western in their attitudes, because they've got two quite progressive nations on their borders.
So it sounds like a very interesting place. Like, in my mind, there's just all these dichotomies going on where, you know, they've got the parts that are very similar to the Western Europe, and then there's sort of other little bits hanging over from the East, and it's like they're straddling both and sort of attacking it in their own very unique way.
Yeah, it's interesting that their president obviously has the power to veto legislation that comes out of the parliament. I'd hope if Australia ever gets a president that it doesn't have that kind of power to ever set back whatever the people say.
To be fair, though, we don't know enough about the political system to be able to comment, and it could just be something where they have the ability to vet certain legislation in certain circumstances, depending on how many people have endorsed it or something like that. Other countries do have similar, I don't know what you call them, escape hatches, safety valves.
Loopholes.
Somehow I can't see us worrying too much about Australia becoming a republic at any time in the future. Remember what I was saying earlier about having to wear bustles and drive stagecoaches? If we go any further in the past, you know. Ah, oh dear. Well, if only we were a bit more progressive like the Czech Republic.
If only. It was interesting just to pick up there on one of, I guess, the details of how they're dealing with same-sex couples and adoption, and
because that was actually quite complicated, because if
it's a stumbling point.
We were
for
having
them.
A conversation while it was happening that if you're single but LGBTI, you can adopt,
and that's a recent thing, and that was, I think, because, or the argument held that, well, a single heterosexual person can adopt, so a single homosexual person should be able to adopt.
On the other hand,
that's the logic.
Yep.
But however,
however, as soon as they register their partnership with another gay person, then do they have to give the child back? How does that work? What happens?
And that's where sort of the recognition of the relationship is out of step with adoption, because in the case where they are in a registered partnership, then they cannot adopt. I think that's how it works. It's a little bit complicated.
And they can't adopt the child of their same-sex partner. So if they're
I think they just can't adopt any child,
yes,
because they're in a registered partnership. It doesn't matter whose the child is.
But even if it's their natural-born child, they can't actually adopt it.
So there you go. And so I guess if they get over that stumbling block, then perhaps, getting marriage equality, getting to the marriage bit and stepping away from the civil union, perhaps, you know, it's kind of a bit other way around from how we're sort of attacking it in Australia, but perhaps that's how it will unfold in Czech Republic.
Because Czeslaw actually has personal experience of this. He's married in the Netherlands to his Dutch boyfriend or husband.
Well, yeah, except he can't call him a
husband
in Czech Republic.
Like, things are different now.
But it's not recognised in the Czech Republic.
No, that's it. Well, I mean, I'm getting married this year in the States, and it won't be recognised over here. I'll come over here and I'll just be a singleton again. Oh, well.
Oh, singled here, married there, I don't know.
I could turn that to my advantage.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Jane Ward, author of the book Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men, speaking from Los Angeles on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight, here on World Wide Wave,
we're off to the Czech Republic. We've been speaking to Czeslaw Walek, and he is the chairman of Prague Pride, the biggest of the region in Eastern Europe. And we asked him if there is political support for the Pride event.
Some of them. For some, this walking through the street and showing the pride for sexuality is still a bit too much. So for some more conservative politicians, this is something that they don't like to see. However, some politicians definitely like to join us and to show their support during the parade.
And you're actually speaking to us today from the USA, and I understand that you're working on an LGBT workplace equality project. Can you tell us a bit about that one?
Yeah, sure. So I received a Fulbright scholarship last August, and I'm without an equal workplace advocate. And I choose this project because part of our Pride event is Pride Business Forum, which is a forum on LGBT workplace equality, where we discuss what companies should do in order to, in order LGBT people feel free at their workplace. And more companies were contacting us asking, what shall we do? And I wasn't really expert in it, so I've decided to apply for the scholarship. And here I am in Outer Newport, which is, I think, the biggest LGBT workplace equality nonprofit here in the United States. And I'm running their global program. So I'm working with experts from Brazil, China, India, and with representatives of American multinational companies. And we are trying to work their policies on LGBT equality, how those policies can work, for example, in Brazil or China.
With that sort of knowledge and with the progress that has been made in the Czech Republic, do you also feel a responsibility to help drive change in other parts of Eastern Europe?
You know, I definitely believe that this is like a snowball effect. Once one country starts progress, the other countries sooner or later will follow. And I believe that this will be the same with the Czech Republic and with surrounding countries. And we do invite guests from Eastern Europe to our festival, and many of them are coming back to their countries and are energized and driving for change. We do submit projects to the European Commission with partnership in other countries like Slovakia, Poland, or Slovenia. So we cooperate with the activists from Eastern Europe heavily, and I believe that once the change comes to our country, it will be like a snowball effect with other countries in the region.
We wish you a very successful Pride event this year. Czeslaw Wallach, the chairman of Prague Pride, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you for inviting me, and I would like to invite all listeners for Prague Pride.
Czeslaw Wallach, chairman of Prague Pride, speaking with us from the USA here on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
What a champion. So not only is he or has he been responsible for Prague Pride in the Czech Republic, but now he's off in the US working on getting recognition of LGBTI persons and their rights in the corporate sense. So, you know, a completely different angle. And, you know, he's really branched out, really sort of going after this with both hands.
It'd be interesting to see how it snowballs. Is it, you know, if the Czech Republic does move forward and does approve equal marriage, What does that mean for the other countries? I mean, what's that mean for Slovakia next door to it and Hungary that are within that area?
You'd have to say, you know, it's only going to have a positive effect. It's only going to bring things closer. It's only going to start up that dialogue again and have people reassess.
Well, it's going to prove to the doubters that, you know, the sky doesn't fall down, the earth doesn't swallow us up when you do go for equal marriage rights.
I don't agree with that. I don't think anything will prove it to the doubters. I think to some people it will, but I think there's a lot of people, their belief is so irrational.
I agree with you there, Dean, because, you know,
New Zealand,
it's not like it hasn't happened yet. There's a lot of countries that have already been there, done that, and, yeah, the sky is still there.
I think what makes a difference is if people know. This is why I do think it's important that if people are able to, that they do come out. Because I think, well, actually, it's more than just what I think. Studies have shown that if people know gay people, they tend to have a better attitude towards gay people. With anything, if people know, you know, Muslims or, you know, people from anywhere, really, they tend to rethink their
prejudices. Any minority,
prejudices.
You know, anyone that's in the minority, if they actually know that person. That's why I think the approach there through the corporate angle is important, because that's a bit more of a neutral setting. Because, you know, if your workmate belongs to a minority, it's, you know, it's still that distance. It's not your personal life. So you can kind of, you know, be softly introduced to people which may be different to yourself.
It's the great thing about the workplace. You can't choose who you work with a lot of the time. And that can have its negatives, but a lot of the time it means you meet people and interact with people you otherwise wouldn't get to.
There was a in one of our recent shows where they were doing a photography exhibition, and it was putting the face to what is the LGBT and equal rights, the campaign for equal marriage rights.
Humanising it, if you will.
Putting a face to it.
That's right. We do have faces. We don't show them because we're on radio for a reason, but we do have faces. That's it. You're listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for World Wide Wave.
Where tonight we went to the Czech Republic and spoke with Czeslaw Wallach, the chairman of Prague Pride. You can find out more about Prague Pride by visiting www.praguepride.cz/en.
Oh, and we would like to say thank you for all the messages on Facebook and the ones that came through on SMS and email. Don't forget, you can find us on W3Joy on Facebook.
And thank you to our wonderful podcaster, Mark, and our wonderful Director of Communications, Gordon, at the front desk.
We've got some more Czech music to lead out with. This is a group, Verone, with Endless Day.
Thank you for listening, guys, and we will hopefully have you again next week.
On the World Wide Wave.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.